Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Saints, the fruit of the Spirit in your life being produced through a cross-bearing, abiding, vital union with Jesus Christ is laying the groundwork for those around you to be saved. Now, let's talk about that. When I was saved, I know each of us has somewhat of a unique testimony, but the thing that really hit me, and the reason why, as a lost sinner at 22 years old, having tasted of the world, being in the Marine Corps, and coming back to Alabama to settle in, there was a whole lot missing in my life. There was everything missing in my life, and that's Jesus Christ. And so I met somebody that was so full of love, joy, and peace. That is the first three dimensions of the fruit of the Spirit listed specifically in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And I reasoned in my mind as I look back on it, nobody else is happy. Nobody's except Christian. That's like starving for food and having one place to go get that food. That's like being in a pitch dark forest and then here's a light in the distance shining. Where are you going to gravitate to? Well, obviously you're going to go toward the light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me, what did he say? Shall not walk in darkness. Notice John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is John chapter 8, verse 12. How about John 12:35? Notice Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, as the light of Christ shines in you, as you first and foremost, as uttermost priority, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually, the overglow and the overflow of the love of God is going to spill off to others around you. You cannot stop that. I know you don't want to stop that if you're a believer, if you're born again, but I'm just making a point. You cannot stop the gravitation, even though they might not say anything, of the people to come, just like the dark forest. And then, I mean, you can't see anything. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. And yet here is a beam of light in the distance. You and everybody is going to absolutely gravitate toward that light. In Psalm 23, verse 5, the Bible says, thou preparest a table before me, a feast, that is, in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And preceding that verse 5, it's only a 6-verse chapter, Psalm 23, psalmist says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so if God is your shepherd, you will lack nothing. God will anoint your head with oil and your cup will run over. You'll have more than enough for you and all of those around you who are blessed to view and see the blessedness of God on your life, the love, the joy, the peace, etc. The fruit of the Spirit in all situations is including giving you temperance. That's one of the 9 dimensions of the fruit of the Spirit. They're going to behold this. They're going to look around them like I did, and I'd probably have to speculate that there are those listening to me that can relate that everybody else, full of religion or the world and anything, and there's only two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of Satan. As you looked out around you at religion or the world or the whole gamut of everything outside of Christ's kingdom, because you weren't even in it yet yourself, you beheld, as myself, that no one else was happy. No one had joy. No one had love, especially now as the days leading up to Christ's soon return continue to become darker and darker. In fact, the book of Luke chapter 21 speaks of the frightful signs, the beginning of sorrows that we are at least in at this point, and the escalation of evil seems to increase in the world every day. I think we can all agree. Verse 25, picking up there, Luke 21, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, not only nations with borders, but also this Greek word is ethnos, or ethnic group. So this tension across the board in human relationships, it says, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now that is an idiom or an illustrative language of the hordes of people marching in the streets and demanding their rights and everything else and burning down cities. We've seen this for the last several years. And the waves roaring. That's, again, that's speaking of people. That's Bible language for lots of people in distress. Verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. So this speaks for itself. It's self-evident language. Men's hearts are failing them, not are going to be so much as they already are, and they're going to increase. This is going to continue to increase. And the only place that they're going to have to look is to those who are settled, they're established, they're full of joy, they're full of Christ, their cups running over with the love, the joy, the peace, and the light of Christ. This is the greatest witness to sinners. Some of you think that because you don't stand on a street corner and praise God for the good street preacher and those that go sing and everything else they do, you can only fulfill the call of God on your life. And right where you are, God is already using you, and he's going to use you in a greater fashion as you continue to ask him to anoint you to the death and burial of self so that Christ is reigning and shining through your life brighter and brighter as the day of Christ approaches. So men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. They're anxious. In America and the Western world, this is the only time in history that the average person had savings, has all of these different layers of wealth and stuff. Well, money is going to fail somewhere along the line, probably sooner rather than later. And those that trusted in that money they had been saving are going to be in big trouble. Their hearts are going to fail them because of the fear of how they're going to exist. Well, most of the world exists and is thankful to have the next morsel of food and be blessed with something else to drink. That's all they live for, is the next meal per se. They don't have to worry. They weren't trained like us and indoctrinated to build wealth and all of this stuff. And so they are going to do a lot better. In the Western world, I can really see this coming. It's pretty obvious. The fear in men's hearts is going to cause them to have heart attacks and to commit suicide, etc. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. We're all seeing waves. It seems to get worse every day of demonic activity, people in government doing the unthinkable, etc. For the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Jesus is coming, and he wants to use every one of us as his witness. And the greatest way to do that is today, to ask him to anoint you and teach you the cross that he put at the center of his original gospel, and ask him that you could say with Paul that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And let me encourage at this juncture, beloved, to read Romans 6 each and every morning this week, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And God is going to do a special deepening work in your life as you turn to him afresh and with a whole heart, crying with John the Baptist, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. That's John chapter 3, verse 30. Notice Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Notice, ye are dead. Say that to yourself, that you are dead. Your life is dead. It's over. And your life is hid. That's the only place to be hidden from the evil to come and from eternal damnation, is to be hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, Colossians 3. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, who is that promise being made to? Well, the preceding three verses tell us that that promise, in context, is made to those who are doing these things. They are meeting the conditions. God's blessings, including eternal glory with him in heaven and in the New Jerusalem, is conditional. It's not unconditional. If ye then be risen with Christ, so it's those that are risen with Christ, have been born again, they're abiding in Christ, John 15, they're continuing in him, they're continuing in vital relationship or union with him. That's what abide means. They're seeking those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Let me throw this in there. The book of Hebrews is really the book that gives you the picture of Jesus at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you, ever living to provide what he died to purchase. He is at the right hand of the Father, having shed his blood, and he is giving and dispensing mercy for sin and grace, divine enablement to overcome all sin, to everybody that is truly abiding in Christ. And when you're abiding in Christ, you're learning the cross life. You're saying with the Apostle Paul that we sentenced ourselves to death, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse not. I am crucified with Christ. You are declaring these things. You are walking the cross life. Jesus is raising you up. He's filling you with the Holy Ghost, and the fruit of the Spirit is being produced in your life, and those around you are seeing it, whether you realize it or not. They know who has peace and love and joy and kindness, etc. All the dimensions of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And it's only the believers. I'm reminded of a night when a friend of mine, Chad, and I saw a guy. We were at a restaurant, and then we saw a guy on the street corner outside the restaurant who was on the ground vomiting. He had gone to a Dallas Mavericks game or something like that and drank too many beers. The cops were getting ready to put him in the paddy wagon, and we told them that we're serving the Lord and we'd love to take care of him if you guys would be so kind to allow us to. And they said, sure, man, go for it. Anyway, Chad and I stayed with this guy, I'd say at least 4 hours, and kept giving him cold water. Anyway, he said this. He looked at us. We didn't even minister to him one bit. It wouldn't have done any good, right? He was just inebriated. Young guy, about 25 or so. So finally, he looked up at us. He almost puzzled face, like, why are you guys helping me? He said this. He said, let me repeat, we did not say a word of ministry to him. He looked up at us and he said, you guys have got to be Christians. We just smiled and said, as a matter of fact, we are. And then the ministry began at that point, because he was beginning to come to, if you will. We kept getting cold water for him to drink, and a couple of 3 hours had gone by that time. And listen, he knew that only Christians would love and care for him in that state. We didn't condemn him at all. We were there to help him. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. The world's already condemned, saints, in their sin. They're already condemned. He said he did not come to condemn the world because they're already condemned. He came to save the world. John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Learn that verse, memorize it, share it with other believers and sinners. Notice also Luke chapter 9 and verse 56, where Jesus is rebuking or chiding his disciple. And he said that he did not come into the world to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Luke 9, verse 56. Let me read this to you as we come in for a close here, friends. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God, and I'm reading this to you, because if you're born again and you're a disciple of Christ, many times we get the feeling we're not doing anything, we're not being productive. Well, that's kind of a good thing, because that brings us to our knees, that brings us to the foot of the cross afresh, to cry out to God in repentance and to ask him to take over our lives, fill us with his spirit, and bless us to be crucified with Christ, dying downward. And then he's going to reciprocally raise us upward in his glory, in his grace, and in his power, his light shining through us, his water of life overflowing, running over. It's the cup runneth over evangelism, precious. You guys learn quicker than me. It took me so many years to realize that I must sit at his feet and I must drink of his living water. And it's only as he's filling me that that living water, that blessing from God, whatever's needed, is going to flow through me. It's first upward, the cross, and then it's outward. It's first vertical from heaven to earth, and it is then and only then horizontal to people. For God, Hebrews 6:10, is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Jesus, as we've talked about in some of the previous recent podcasts, it promises us that he is going to reward every humble act as we're abiding in him of service. Notice Matthew 10, verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So he's talking about rewards. When you receive and you bless one of the children of God, God is going to reward you. And by the way, that reward will never end. Let me stop and introduce this thought too. Everybody's rewards in heaven are not going to be the same. There's going to be a vast difference, and it's going to be a reaping of what we sowed. The Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Are you abounding? In what? In the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's your safest investment to be committed completely to Christ, to sit at his feet every day, to love him, to learn to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and let him use you to be a blessing to others. Notice verse 42, Matthew 10, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What a blessing. Today I was blessed to go on the street in this really nice neighborhood. This lady that was selling things at a red light or a stop sign there, she, at a pretty busy intersection, was able to get her some food and a cold glass of water. The guy that owned the restaurant was just delighted to partake in that. And then another guy, an older man, he, I don't know if he was homeless or not, but he was sure ready to get something to eat. I asked him, are you hungry? Tu hambre. Yeah, that's how you say it. Hambre? And he said, yes, yes. So we got him some food. We got her some food. This older lady that I believe lives on the street. And I just found myself telling them in Spanish that we want to just bring blessings to you and bendiciones in el nombre de Jesucristo. We are bringing blessings to you in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ loves you, I told her in Spanish. The precious blood of Jesus was shed for you because he loves you and he wants to wash away all your sins, etc. You'll see we take some snapshots and maybe in the future some videos on the Mexico-Mexico Missions,
a new category on the ministry site.
It's safeguardyoursoul.com/Mexico-missions. We have several, a handful already, of posts, got pictures and stories and great scriptures and stuff. And I'll try to link it at the bottom of this post. But what a delight. And later I was thinking, wow, what a blessing to be able to be abandoned. That which we do a little bit of, God increases the responsibility. He says that if you're faithful in the least, I'll make you ruler over more. So if you, beloved saint, will be faithful right where you are, you might think, man, I'm just working this job. Listen, there are people around you, and God has put you as a grain of salt, one of his grains of salt. You're the salt of the earth, right where you are. And as you walk with him, you're going to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Peter 2:15. You're going to silence all the rebellion and the evil by the hand of God being upon you, by walking in the Spirit, by walking in the love of God. You are being a witness right where you are. Let me read it again in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 to encourage you. Here's the promise of God: for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister.
And now the two following verses, Paul was speaking to those he was writing to in that day, and he also speaks prophetically to each of us, and he says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. The same diligence of what? Ministering to the saints of Christ. And we desire, the Holy Spirit speaking through what many believe to be the Apostle Paul, it doesn't matter. This is a holy man of God, according to 2 Peter 1, that wrote these words. He was moved by the Holy Ghost, whether it be Paul or whoever else. And we desire that every one of you, do show the same diligence. Don't you just love that word, diligent, and diligence, to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but rather diligent, right? That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That would be those in history. We have the 11th chapter of this book, Hebrews chapter 11, about the heroes of the faith. That's an incredible chapter to read and to be inspired by the lives of those that are featured in that chapter. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, in fact, the 6th verse of that 11th chapter says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, there's that word again, seek him. One more time, Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience or endurance inherit the promises. The most notable promise to inherit is going to be eternal glory with Christ.
And let me encourage you to make sure that you have at least two or three people, and perhaps a growing list of people that God puts on your heart to begin to lift up every day. Pray the word of God over their lives. Pray that God will unite their hearts to fear his name. Psalm chapter 86, verse 11. Pray that God would fill them afresh with his Spirit, would anoint them, would bless them, would give them supernatural memorization of his word, will give them a greater hunger to seek the Lord in his strength, to seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11, to study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, etc. Pray the word of God over them.
And those you pray for
will be blessed to have a greater measure of the blessing of God coming through your prayers. As we close, this is such a beautiful verse. Notice Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Notice what nugget of truth Paul gives us here. Philippians 1:19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation, or my deliverance, the blessings of God. Every blessing of God that's wrapped up in the salvation of Christ is what he's referring to. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Then he says to the saints who are praying for him, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Notice that as we pray for one another, the supply of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost is going to increase in each of our lives. In that abiding relationship, we have to be anointed and filled afresh as we meet with the Lord every morning, as we pray without ceasing, as we meditate upon His Word, as we allow His Word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, we're going to be fruitful. Jesus spoke in John 15 about abiding in Him, and He used these three terms in this order: fruit, more fruit, much fruit. That's what the progression is. 30, 60, 90, or 100 fold. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Go in your Bible, John 15, King James Bible, and underline those three phrases. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And we ask God right now in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for every believer, every one of your disciples listening right now, Lord, that you would encourage their hearts. You would imbue them with the fear of God. You would encourage them and exhort them to know that you do not forget their work and labor of love, which they have showed towards your holy name as they minister to the saints of Christ, looking for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.